Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
Here's a question. Which of the Ten Commandments does God go into the greatest detail to explain? I mean, we have some pretty short, sharp ones. We've got you shall not murder, which is four words. You shall not steal, which is four words. You shall not commit adultery, which is five words. You've got you shall have no other gods before me, which is eight words. But top of the pile with 97 words is this. Exodus 20:8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is not something that I've ever spoken a lot of in the life of this church, but I want us to focus in on what it is to have a Sabbath rest today. Put your hand up if you're tired. Hey, yeah. You know, Winston Churchill actually said, I never trust a man who isn't tired. And so I don't know if that's wise or stupid. But anyway, I want us to understand what a Sabbath rest is all about. Sabbath is a really, really foreign word to us in our culture today. Whenever we hear the word Sabbath, we do think about religious observance. But I want to tell you, Sabbath rest, from God's perspective, is about so much more than a religious observance. In the Bible, the Sabbath has very, very important spiritual significance, so we don't want to overlook that. But I would suggest that in our 21st century Christian lives, the importance of Sabbath, the concept of Sabbath, is becoming increasingly less and less important to us. So I do want to put a spotlight on this because it is an important way to wrap up our series on prayer, understanding the need for rest. Sabbath does relate to rest. That's the whole point of Sabbath. It relates to rest, the concept of rest. But even in our world today, perhaps rest is another concept that is increasingly becoming less and less attractive. We live in a world that is getting busier and busier, it seems. We live in a world of multitasking. We live in a world of hyper-productivity. And so when you throw or express the need for rest into that kind of climate, it almost appears to be a weakness that I need rest. Everything is about productivity. Everything is about efficiency. Everything is about output and how productive we can be. Because in a materialistic culture, so often our worth or our value is measured by our individual capacity or productivity. I think the danger with that is if we conform to that mindset, rest becomes an unaffordable luxury. It can get to the point where rest is the exception. It can get to the point where even if we do rest, we actually feel guilty that we are resting. And because we feel guilty we are resting, then we avoid resting to avoid the associated feelings of guilt that go with it. And so we work and we work and we work and we work and we work until something gives. So many people burn out. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Friends, God is your maker. He is your creator. God is the author of life. And God knows what we need. He made us. It's God who wove together the tapestry that is your DNA. And so he knows us. He knows what we need. And we've got to understand that when God puts principles in place in his word, often they are there just as much for our physical benefit as they are for our spiritual benefit. But so often we compartmentalize and we think that anything associated with God is all about my spiritual well-being. No. God, the author of life, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's almost like the spiritual aspect is secondary to life because it's all one. We don't compartmentalize. We're all one. And so God says, I place in your life, I put parameters around your life, I set in place principles that will cause you to function well, that will cause you to live a healthy, balanced life. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And God also knows that we need to be reminded of the spiritual importance that has so much to do with our physical well-being, that has to do with Sabbath, this concept of rest. Genesis 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So in these verses, we read that God rested on the seventh day. I wonder if it was because God was exhausted. I would suggest no. I think God is never exhausted. And in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, he has all the energy he will ever need. So why did he rest? He rested to demonstrate a principle of creation. And this is a principle that you and I need to take a hold of. It's a principle that every element of creation reflects. Rest is something that God has instituted, woven into the fabric of creation, and in the context of how it's presented here in God's law, we give it this title, Sabbath. And so it has become a very religious thing. God creates and then he rests. He works and then he rests. He rested from all his work which he had done. We've got a problem in our world today because we've become a seven-day culture. When I was growing up, you couldn't find a shop open anywhere on Sunday. Today, it's a seven-day culture. In fact, we're going through a whole bunch of reform in regards to our wages structure to try and somehow remove the loading that casuals get on a Sunday, because small business is complaining. They're complaining that they can't stay open on a Sunday because they can't afford the wages. They want to open on they have to close on a Sunday, not because they need rest. They close on a Sunday because they can't afford to open. Apparently, we need more work. We don't need another day of rest. Here's some really unhealthy phrases that we hear a lot of today. Just having a working lunch. Oh, I've got a working dinner. Or I've got a work breakfast. The worst one of all, we're going on a working holiday. And what a trap that is. Today, people do not know how to disconnect. And unfortunately, we're all incredibly accessible. How bizarre it is that we're so tied to these things. How bizarre it is that these things are actually ruling our lives, and I'm just as guilty. We almost can't remember what it was like before smartphones. How bizarre is that? Who remembers writing letters? Wow. So you would write a letter, you would fold it, you would put it in an envelope, you would lick the envelope shut, you would lick the stamp, put it on the back of the envelope, then you'd walk down to the post office or drive down to the post office and post the letter. If it was really, really urgent, You'd pay 5 cents extra and put a priority sticker on it. And then it would go to the person that it was intended within a few days, and then they would read it, and eventually they'd send their reply back to you, and it would come back in the mail. And this whole process would take a week or 10 days or 2 weeks. We didn't seem that stressed about it. That was simply the way you got stuff done until faxes came along. But now we live in an age where we feel guilty if we don't respond to a text within a couple of minutes, because we're so accessible. And it's like we've become so accessible that we appear to be rude if we're not responding immediately. I had somebody a couple of weeks ago start texting me at like 11 o'clock at night. And then because I wasn't responding, I had my phone on silent, but it was the vibration that was waking me up. Because I wasn't responding, they started abusing me for not responding to their texts. What's with that? And we've become a slave to busyness. We've become a slave to the demands of technology. And this concept of rest or Sabbath has become so foreign to us. Put your hand up if when you go on holidays, you don't check emails and listen to voice messages. God bless you, the holy ones. You'll be going up first, let me tell you. Okay, here's a worse one. Put your hand up if you do check Facebook before you go to sleep at night in bed. I'd suggest there's more hands that need to go up. It's no wonder that biological population growth in Australia is falling. Kerry went to Burnie this week, I think it was on Thursday, and she doesn't like taking the van to Burnie because it's too big to park in the Kmart car park, so we swapped cars, and I left my phone on the front seat of my car. So I didn't have my phone for a whole morning, and I was freaking out. But it was also a really good lesson, and quite timely, that in the absence of my phone, I was preparing this message. And it was just incredible, just thinking, wow, I've actually survived without it. And you know, when I got it back, a bit after lunch, there was no messages and no missed calls. And yet we feel so tied to these things. The word rest that's used in the scripture here is the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is where we get the word Sabbath from. The word Sabbath doesn't just mean the seventh day of the week. It doesn't, as I've said, mean a traditional day of worship. Here's the true meaning. Listen to this. To desist from exertion. To cease. To rest. Here's a great quote. God rested on the seventh day from all his work, implying that those whom he created in his image should do the same. The Sabbath is a time to abstain completely from everyday work. It is a time to relax the mind, body, and soul in order to be filled and nourished. The Sabbath rest is not running away from life and its problems. It is an opportunity to receive grace to face them. It's a time to rely on God and a time to let God be God in one's living. Great quote. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Friends, we've got to slow down if we're ever going to hear God's voice. Can I hear an amen? We've got to slow down if we are ever going to discover the wonderful benefits that come when we just abide in the presence of God. That's what Sabbath is about. The Sabbath is about abiding in the peace of God, in the presence of God, and receiving. It's kind of a top-up just to fill us with his grace, to fill us with his wisdom, to fill us with his love that'll allow us just to keep on going. That's why in the context of the Hotline series, it's actually a vital part of prayer. We're never going to learn to pray properly if we can't learn to take time out and rest in the presence of God. I may have shared this before, I think I have, but it's important in the context of this series. My prayer life was transformed when we first moved from Brisbane to Tassie about almost 20 years ago. We were living in inner city Brisbane. It was 3 minutes to the city from our place, living in a tiny little three-bedroom house, and the other houses were packed on top of us so much so that you could almost reach out and touch the next-door neighbour's house out of our bedroom window. Now, I'm an early morning riser, but my alarm clock for all the years that we lived in that house used to be our next-door neighbour, who was a tradesman, so he'd be up particularly early, and our next-door neighbour's bathroom window was directly adjacent to our bedroom window. He'd have a shower every morning and without fail, every single morning, blow his nose in the shower. And it was like this trumpet, this clarion call. And I was like, oh, there he is again. Good morning, Lord. But I when we moved to Tassie, I discovered how inadequate my prayer life was. And we are a little bit guilty of this, giving God our shopping list. Wake up. Yeah, God. Do this, do that, bless this, bless that, help this, help that, heal this, heal that, and be with all the missionaries, amen. And we get on with our day. So we moved from an environment, inner city Brisbane, in these little houses and on a busy road, all seemed so hectic. We moved out on the Dial Range back of Penguin, Mount Montgomery, looking out over Bass Strait, surrounded by state forest on 10 acres. Couldn't sleep for the first two nights because it was so quiet. And again, I'm an early riser, so I'd get up every morning with my coffee and Bible, go out on the porch and look out as the sun started coming up over the water. And I tell you, I would go to give God my shopping list. And here I learned a really powerful lesson. It is the power of shut up. Because at that moment, basking in the glory and the grandeur of God's creation, I've got this voice just saying, Peter, be still and know that I am God. And I learned the power of resting in the presence of God, that God knows my heart, and some of the most productive time that I can spend is just stopping and being still in the presence of God and saying, Father, I'm in relationship with you. And it's not about what I have to say to you. It's not about what I have to share to you. It's not about all of these things that I want you to do, even though intercession is vitally important and we should intercede for others and present to God our needs. But firstly, I just got to stop and know that God is God. To stop and bask in his presence and find a place. Look, we live in the most beautiful part of the world. It's not hard to find a place where you can be reminded of the incredible creativity and beauty of God. Find a place where you can disconnect. Find a place where you can stop and just breathe in the presence of God and say, Father, I am your child. I am being still right now. I just need to know you. And I know that sounds all emotional and airy-fairy and girly. Let me tell you, it's anything but. To be still in the presence of your Creator and say, Father, breathe your life into me right now. We got to do it, guys. We got to do it. Be still and know that I am God. I encourage you not to conform to a world that says, well, having personal time out like that sounds a little bit self-indulgent, sounds like a bit of a waste of time. I think you should be doing something a little bit more productive with that time. That wars against you. The devil loves it. He loves to war against anything that will keep you from that place. And I encourage you to reject those voices that say this is a waste of time. The more demands that are on my time, the more important it is that I take time out to be still and to know that God is God. The world says it's unproductive. It's actually the opposite. Friends, your prayer time, your meditation time, is the most productive time that you can have. Because as I've said before in the context of this series, one of the important outcomes of prayer is that we're actually aligning ourselves to the will of God. You know, the end result of prayer is not that I'm changing God's mind about anything, getting him to do all the things that I think he should be doing. It's the opposite. It's me being aligned with the will of God, understanding what God wants. It's about my priorities being ordered by the Lord, my steps being ordered by the Lord. It's that place where we discover how to be more productive, not less, because it's God who's ordering our steps. It's God who's setting our priorities. It's the place where I get in tune with the Holy Spirit, discover what's truly important and what's not. It's the place of clarity. So stopping, resting, praying, they're all keys to greater productivity. There's a great Greek fable or Greek legend that talks about Aesop, you know, the great story writer. It goes like this. In ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing childish games with some little boys. He laughed and made fun of Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time in such frivolous activity. Aesop then responded by picking up a bow. Loosening its string, he placed it on the ground, and then he said to the critical man, "Now answer the riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments but had no idea what point Aesop was trying to make. Aesop explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will eventually break. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for use when you want it." Maybe it's in relation to that we call people who are stressed out highly strung. Leonardo da Vinci is another one, a brilliant mind, one of the greatest minds ever, who just excelled in any area, any endeavor that he put his mind and his hand to. He left us with some good words of advice. He said this, "Every now and then go away, have a little relaxation, for when you come back to your work, your judgment will be surer, since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power of judgment. Go some distance away, because then the work appears smaller and more of it can be taken in at a glance, and lack of harmony or proportion is more readily seen." So Da Vinci reinforces that. If you want to be more productive, rest, disconnect. You see, and we know this, if you just go all the time, something's going to give, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. We've got to disconnect. Our Creator took a day off to demonstrate to us from the author of creation, guys, you need to rest. So the Sabbath rest is the fourth commandment. The three that precede it are all about honoring God above all else, seeking God first. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself for yourself an idol in the form of anything in the heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy." So the first three is all about honoring God first, honoring God first, honoring God first, and then the command to rest. And here's where I think we get it sometimes a little bit wrong. We think that God created the Sabbath all to do with the first bit. That God has created the Sabbath for it to be a holy day for us to honor him and worship him, that it's all about God, that it draws our focus and our attention to God that has flown out of the other three. I would challenge that. Yes, we need to give to God the honor that is due to his name. And yes, in part, it is true that in that time of rest, we are honoring God. But he didn't create the Sabbath just for himself, friends. He created the Sabbath for us. In the first three commandments, God made sure that there was provision for his people to acknowledge him above all else. But then I think he turned and he looked to us and he said, you know what? I've made provision for people to care about me, but now I want to make provision for me to care about them. And God gives us the Sabbath for a very important reason. Christians celebrate the Sabbath. We celebrate this, what for us as Christians is a Sunday. The Seventh Day Adventists would say it's Saturday because Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Christians, we celebrate it on a Sunday because that was the day of the resurrection of Christ. So when should we observe a Sabbath? Exodus 20:11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So some say, well, you know, it should be the seventh day of the week. But here's the challenge. If we get caught up about the day of the week, all we're doing is making it a religious observance, and we're actually missing the depth and we're missing the point. Because from Scripture we discover that the day is not as important as what it is that we do on that day. Now, there's something cool that's happened is that on the Sabbath we have come to church and we worship God, and I pray that all Christians would go to church and worship God once a week. Statistically now, it's every other week or three times, sorry, once every month. So, and I can't remember the context, but I said this to some of our leaders, might have been our worship team. You know, what are we demonstrating to our kids? Are we demonstrating the importance of being in God's house every week? Or are we demonstrating to them that it's not so important and once or twice a month is okay? So that becomes the new normal for the next generation. What will it be for the generation that follows that? Well, let's just go Christmas and Easter. So what you're modeling and demonstrating to your kids about how you honor God is so vitally important. So yes, it is important that there is a time that we set aside to stop and to worship and to acknowledge God. But the reality is, in a seven-day culture, work culture, some of us work, some of us are on shift, some of us have responsibilities on Sunday, which means we're not excused from the Sabbath. We just got to get a bit more creative about how we find a Sabbath, a time that we set aside to stop, to cease, to rest, and to spend time with God. So I would encourage you never ever to become legalistic about when the Sabbath is. The day is not important. Do not say that Saturday or Sunday is the only acceptable day for a Sabbath, and that you miss resting. If you miss resting on that day, then you kind of miss out in total. We don't get religious about it because it's exactly what the Pharisees were trying to do with Jesus and the disciples. Mark 2 and 23, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar the high priest? He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So the Pharisees got all religious, condemned Jesus for the actions of what they were doing, picking heads of grain on the traditional day for the Sabbath. And we have these great words, a Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Friends, there it is. God set the Sabbath aside for our benefit. And yes, we benefit greatly from worshiping God, no question. We benefit greatly from resting. But God's not going to be legalistic about the day that we choose to do this. Matthew 14 and 22, we have this account. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone. So we have this great account of Jesus, and you see this repeated throughout the accounts that we have of his life and ministry, that Jesus took time just to go to a quiet place and spend time with God, time alone. Now, here's the thing. Jesus had a ministry span of about 3 years, so his time was short, and I think he was well aware of that. So you would think, well, I've only got a short amount of time, so I've got to maximize the use of my time. And there's a task to be done. There's people to be saved. There is the gospel to be preached. There are apostles to be raised. There is a church to be birthed. And mate, I got no time for self-indulgent time out. But here's the thing. He made a priority of it. He made an emphasis of the necessity of spending time out away from the crowds, alone and resting and meditating. Mark 4 and 35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And there's a picture which is really interesting. Jesus left the crowds behind. In that crowd were so many needs that were represented. In that crowd were so many people hungry. In that crowd were so many people lost. In that crowd would have been so many people ill. But such was the importance of rest and time out that Jesus left that multitude of need for what he sensed at that moment was a greater personal priority. And that was for his own need, not because he was indulgent, but because he was obedient. And he left the work. The work was pressing. The work was urgent. His time was short. But he recognized that his Father had instituted something in the middle of that busyness that was not negotiable, and that's to have time out. It's a great story of two guys that were woodchoppers, and they challenged each other to an all-day woodchopping contest. One guy was very slim. He was fit, but very slim, not a lot of muscle. And another guy was really, really buff, very strong, very, you know, muscly physique. And you would think, well, we know who's going to win this. And so they launched into it, this all-day wood-chopping contest, and the big, muscly guys just plowing through stuff, and the other weedy guys just chipping away at stuff. And every half hour or so, the more slender guy would just take a break and be off having a bit of rest. And the muscly guys just going at it just non-stop, all day. Get to the end of the day, and suddenly they realized that this slim guy, the weedy guy, had actually chopped a lot more wood than the muscly guy. And the big beefy guy is just shaking his head. He's going, that's just not possible, because every time I turned around, you'd wanted off to have a little bit of a break. To which the slim guy said, yeah, but what you don't realize that while I was off having a break, I was actually sharpening my axe. That's a good story. And Jesus had a priority of time out in spite of the need, in spite of the demands for his attention, in spite of the urgency of his ministry. He knew the importance of taking time out to sharpen his axe. And friends, whenever we spend some time alone with God, praying, reading his word, I tell you, it sharpens us spiritually. Can I hear an amen? And Sabbath rest, whatever that might look like for you, it's not negotiable. It shapes us, molds us into instruments or tools to be used for God's glory and for his kingdom's purposes. And so I encourage you, friends, take some time out. Take some time to rest. Take some time to wait upon God. It may be a great discipline at first because you get fidgety. Can I encourage you in that quiet place? Don't take your phone with you, because when your mind starts wandering and thinking, "Oh, this is I'm not really comfortable just sitting here doing nothing. I'm going to do this." Just stop and say, "Father, I don't know what to do with this time, but I need you by your Holy Spirit to breathe life into me, to breathe your wisdom into me, to help me by the conviction and counsel of your Holy Spirit, just to know your priorities for my life, to know what I should and shouldn't be doing. Even though there may be a crowd of competing demands, there may be a crowd of responsibility, there may be a crowd of need, know that it is a not negotiable. Know that in the model of Jesus himself, I'm going to leave the crowd and I'm going to take time out to seek the will of my Father." I'm going to invite the team to come back. I'll just leave you with some words of encouragement. Mark 6 and 31. "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." That's a beautiful picture. So many people coming, so many people coming. They didn't even have time to eat. And what an incredible dynamic that would have been. Such a great need, such an incredible ministry. And Jesus says, "You know what? We've got to stop right now, because you guys need to eat, because you guys need to rest. Come with me," he says to the disciples. "Come by yourselves, find a quiet place and rest." Matthew 11 and 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Guys, here's my instruction to you this morning. Have a day off. Find a place of rest. And you might look at me and say, "Well, that's easy to you to say. You need to look at my life." It's like, I tell you what, I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's not easy for me to say. Friends, if you are tired and you need to rest, just please do it and don't feel guilty about doing it. Yes, we've got to tend to the responsibilities that we have around us, but we've got to plan into the busyness of our schedule time to stop and wait upon God. And that's where your prayer life is going to come alive. Take time to be refreshed. Take time to be sharpened and honed. And it'll be some of the most productive time you can find. Amen.